Off we go on a July Tuesday. It is the 14th of July here in 2026. Training camp for rookies reports next week. Everybody else the week after that. And we are closing in on the 2026, not off season, but really the next big step towards the 2026 NFL regular season. And with that, welcome inside the channel on this Tuesday. I'm Bobby Trossett, as always, joined alongside my co-hosts, Jeff Zrebeck of The Athletic, Cole Jackson of Road Graders. Thanks for handling business, guys, a week ago. It is that kind of calm before the storm. And as you take a look at our docket on the left-hand side, we will sort of begin with a check-in where we find ourselves right now in the NFL calendar. Lamar on multiple QB rankings list or overall players lists that are really designed and curated to garner your attention. That's exactly what they've done over the start of this week. What's next? And a little bit of Q&A as we kick things off. But Jeff, you just mentioned it a while ago. You kind of got to zap yourself back into it, as do the players when rookies report next week. And here are some of the upcoming dates that we're all going to be working towards in terms of the coverage side of things, beginning with after training camp. Cut down day on Sunday, August 30th. All rosters will be required to be trimmed to 53 players. And you see some of the significant dates, both in season and in the off season after the 2026 year, that are all coming up. But Jeff, how are you doing in this little ramp up period? Because it can be difficult to convince yourself to get back to work this time of year.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm doing fine. You know, it's good to talk to you guys as always. It's just, you know, you never feel like you're doing enough, but there's also a point where this is time off, and time off is time off for a reason, and you need it to sort of recharge, and you shouldn't feel guilty about not working during time off. So that's kind of where I'm at, getting back in the thick of things, planning some stuff here in the next couple weeks. I mean, but we're still, guys, you don't want to peak too early. We're still 2 weeks from players even.
Reporting
as a full just for you folks watching.
Everything is going good.
You cut out, Jay-Z.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those days, I fear.
Still 2 weeks out from full team reporting is where you cut off there.
Yeah, I mean, we still got a ways to go, right? There's still veterans won't even be reporting for 2 days. Tomorrow is the 2 week mark before their first practice. So there's still a day to go for you. We are talking about stuff that doesn't involve lists and rankings and Madden grades and all this other hugely important stuff that I'm sure we'll hit on.
We are officially in silly season. There's no doubt about it. It's time to what I like about this, though, is it really helps me sharpen my Twitter chops, because you get into a couple of those, you know, preseason arguments, you know, get ready for the regular season when the real shit talking begins. But no, Jeff, you're bang on. This is the season when, you know, ESPN has it timed well. Let's release the rankings. Let's release, you know, a list so that we have something to react to, something to talk about. But keep in mind, folks, this is when silly season happens. This is where they're trying to generate some controversy to get us talking about it, because there's quite frankly nothing else to talk about in the NFL world. And I think that's exactly what we've seen specifically in the last, you know, 5-6 days when the list started coming out. So, you know, part of the course for the NFL, but it does make this wait feel just even a little bit longer.
Yeah, trust me, I'm not looking to work hard right now, but I almost feel like reaching out to Eric DaCosta and suggesting, hey, let's get a Zay Flowers extension. Let's get a nice little free agent signing of Jadeveon Clowney or Stephon Diggs. Well, no, I don't want Stephon Diggs. You know what I mean? Let's get some stuff to start.
Let's get the Tyreek Hill workout going.
No, never. Yeah. Yeah, no, not that one. But everything else, yeah, I'll take. Heck, I'd take a Brent Urban resigning at this point just to talk about something else.
Just to ensure that topics like these don't grace the flagship mothership at ESPN this week with a crew and a panel that was debating starting jobs and which one's more on the line between Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson.
Honestly, like I'm gonna sound like a grumpy old man, but like again, I realize that there's not a lot to talk about. But could ESPN not use this dead? Maybe do like a little film session and teach someone something, you know, rather than this bullshit that they do. I just don't get it. Like, who are you going to start over Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson? Like, what are we even talking about? I'm just so sick of it. ESPN's become such a joke.
And what, Jalen's a year or two removed from some of his better performances, both of which came in Super Bowls. One he lost, one he won. And Lamar's coming off a season in which he was injury plagued for, well, he missed a month and then went on just a run of nicks and bruises and you name it, all of which seemed to be lower body plaguing him mobility wise. And the Ravens fire their head coach. They blow everything up. It's brand new. And yet, this is a storyline here in July. Maybe some of you out there aren't that surprised. We're going to get into those lists that we've already alluded to a couple times, one of which is a top 10 quarterback list as ranked by a section of the NFL, right? Both of these are essentially not a consensus, right? Both lists are just a percentage of the NFL. In Jeremy Fowler's case, he took a look at from the vantage point of execs, coaches, and scouts, the top 10 quarterbacks, and then the NFL top 100 list as voted on by the players, again, is just a percentage of the league. So we'll give you context on that. We'll talk about that and get into both of those lists, including the aforementioned Stephon Diggs before we wrap things up, who's been very vocal about his services coming up in 26. But first, a message from one of our sponsors. I want to say thanks to SeatGeek. We'll check in with Prize Picks a little bit later on, the World Cup and other sports that are active right now. But first, we're fired up about a brand new partnership, and it is with our friends at SeatGeek. It's the time where everybody starts looking at the calendar. We get it, and all of you guys probably get it too. Which Ravens game am I pulling up to this year? I'm sure you're asking yourself something along those lines. Whether it's a big AFC North matchup, a primetime game at the bank, or even a road trip, who knows? SeatGeek makes it super easy to find tickets. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app, and they have more than 70,000 events listed. We're talking concerts, sports, festivals, and everything in between. And one of the best parts is how simple they make it to know if you're actually getting a good deal. Every ticket is rated on a scale from 1 to 10, so you know what you're looking at right away. Green dots, good deal. Red dots, bad deal. So when you're trying to get into a Ravens game without overpaying, SeatGeek has your back. And every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, so you can buy with confidence. And of course, if you use code COLLECTIVE10, that's COLLECTIVE10, you'll get 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. Again, that's 10% off any tickets with the promo code COLLECTIVE10. Click the link that we have in the description. Download the app. Have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it for later. Thanks to SeatGeek for the continued support of the program. Again, that is COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your tickets, events, concert venues, you name it, everything coming up in the summer of 2026. I hear Morgan Wallen's coming to M&T Bank Stadium, by the way. So lots going on in the Baltimore area right now. Jeff, you're going to be there?
I just got that email from SeatGeek.
Jeff's going, so...
No,
I'm just going to put on his whiskey glasses and get after it.
I just got an email.
He's so freaking fired up about his Morgan Wallen tickets that SeatGeek's telling him to go. Does he understand the whiskey glasses reference, though?
I went to see Hold Morgan Wallen. Second.
Is he unfrozen? There he is. What were you saying about SeatGeek?
I just got an email from SeatGeek telling me Morgan Wallen's at M&T Bank as you were speaking about it. Doesn't Morgan Wallen bring out a famous athlete to the stage? That's my extent of knowledge about Morgan Wallen.
You're right. Yeah. Who In Toronto, he came out with Jose Bautista. And Jose Bautista brought a bat, and Morgan Wallen threw the bat, and it hit Jose Bautista's partner. it was quite a fiasco.
I well, gotta wonder who's gonna Gunner be on a short list.
They're on the road this week.
Ooh. And Gunner's a big country music fan, as we know, which is probably why you brought him up. Jeff, we may need to get to that next router at some point here to shift you around a little bit. Oh, boy. Well, keep trying there if you could. And let's get to the Jeremy Fowler-led exercise that he does on an annual basis where he talks to coaches, execs, and scouts. And in this case, the graphic is the results that he found on ranking the top 10 NFL quarterbacks going into the 26th season. Lamar rounds out the top five. Josh Allen is one. Patrick Mahomes is two. Matthew Stafford is three. Joe Burrow is four. Lamar is five. Dak Prescott is six. Seven is Justin Herbert. Eight, Drake May. Nine, Jared Goff. And 10, Caleb Williams. Cole, before we get into the whole 67 free fall slots in the top 100 players as voted on by a percentage of the players, your thoughts on Fowler's annual piece?
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily surprised by this. There was going to be that upward momentum that you expect from Matthew Stafford. And, you know, the way I've always kind of viewed the top five quarterbacks is, you know, I think that these are generally the top five you've had over the last couple of years between Allen, Mahomes, Stafford, Burrow, and Jackson. And really what happens every year when they release this list is it's kind of a reaction when you move plus or minus a few spots, you know, what happened last season. The NFL is very much a what have you done for me lately league. There's no surprise that, you know, Lamar Jackson had an injury plagued season, wasn't himself. We've covered that in depth. And so to see him slip down to the five spot based on how these lists go isn't surprising to me. As always, when you create a list, it's always, you know, is this forward looking? Is this what you're expecting this year? Or is it really based heavily off last year? Because if it's based heavily off last year, which I kind of assume this is, makes sense that Matt Stafford would move up, you know, given the season that he put together, the, you know, the numbers that he was able to put up. My biggest takeaway is just the knock on Lamar Jackson in the context of these lists is the injury plagued season. Yet Joe Burrow never seems to face that type of criticism when he kind of comes off an injury plagued season basically every other year throughout his career. And so, you know, that I would have Lamar Jackson over Joe Burrow, no doubt about it. I'd personally have Lamar Jackson over Matthew Stafford. But, you know, I understand why he's going to slip down in some people's view just based on the injuries. And, you know, this has happened a couple times in Lamar's career where he's had to, you know, bounce back. And every time he does need to bounce back, he goes out and wins an MVP. So, you know, let's hope that's what's in his future for the 2026 season.
His highest ranking was first. Lowest ranking was unranked. Last year's was fourth. He's 29. He'll turn 30 in January. The write-up is as follows. One NFL defensive coach noticed a stark contrast in preparing for Jackson in 25 relative to his early years. What's so impressive is he has gotten better as a passer, the coach said. He's more of a complete passer. It's impressive. I really didn't respect the passing game as much before in his career, but the last time we played him, he was much better. He can dice you up. Quote, I do wonder if he starts running less as he approaches age 30, an NFL personnel director said. He's still fast, but probably not at his peak. So they could start to manufacture runs in other ways. I expect him to have a big year, an NFL personnel evaluator said. This is like a contract year for him coming up. Not if they get something done between now and the start of the season, Jeff Zeribek.
Do you guys...
No, we do not. Did you cold you?
No.
Before we go any further, this is obviously taking the NFL world by storm, not necessarily this list to be specific, but the list in which he dropped 67 slots to 69 overall in the NFL top 100. And Jeff, now I can see you clearly. So
I think he's restarted.
I say that, he drops off. It's all good. Point is, Cole, it ain't going to be a contract year if he gets something done between now and the start of the season. But obviously that remains to be seen on the urgency, if there is any at all in that category.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the top 100 ranking was pretty shocking to me just because, you know, we've kind of seen the mixed opinions, I guess, for lack of a better word, that come from the executive scouts, you know, blah, blah, blah. The around the league has always been a lot lower on Lamar Jackson than the players. Lamar Jackson is always extremely high in the view of players, and his top 100 ranking is usually quite high, as it should be. You know, I had to laugh today because, you know, number 60, what was Lamar, 66? So, or 67. So the next player, or 69. So player 68 comes out, and it was Cortland Sutton. And I just have to ask whoever's ranking these, if I offer you Lamar Jackson or Cortland Sutton, who are you taking? And I think, you know, most people with a brain in their head are going to take Lamar Jackson. It's just, you know, again, how are they building these lists? What's the methodology of it? I really don't think the players put a whole lot of attention into how they rank it, but I really do believe that this is a reaction of an injury plague season where he just wasn't top of mind. You know, it was the first time in a while that the Ravens weren't a playoff team. And, you know, that hasn't happened much under Lamar Jackson's reign as QB1 of the Ravens. So I think that's a big part of it. But again, every time this kind of happens and there's an injury season that leads to the opinions being low, Lamar Jackson bounces back in a big way. And, you know, here's the truth and the reality of Lamar Jackson's career. If you keep him healthy and you keep him upright in the pocket, he produces, and he produces at an MVP level. And so that's why the emphasis from so many has been on, you know, getting that offensive line shored up, getting things going. And I think that's the most important thing to get Lamar Jackson back into, you know, that higher esteem amongst his colleagues.
So Pro Football Talk listed out how these lists come together. And Mike said an unspecified number of players are asked to list their top 20 NFL players. Points are assigned 20 down to one based on where a player lands. If a player, no matter how objectively good he is having an off year, he'll slip farther than he should because the players who are currently playing at a high level when a given ballot is constructed will end up in higher spots on more ballots. So not only is it just a select few players in terms of the sample size, but obviously it's what have you done for me lately? And Jeff, Lamar's coming off a disappointing season. The entire organization is coming off in a disappointing season.
Yeah, guys, I hope you can hear me. I've been trying everything. One thing is, you know, like I know we just talked about Jeremy Fowler's list, and I like Jeremy, so I don't, you know, just didn't kind of point out, he talks to executive scouts and coaches, and he reports their findings. That's different than this current list, this NFL Network list. And I remember years ago, and I think it was with the NFL Network list, and I was watching a couple guys try to fill this out, and it was a joke. It was an absolute clown show. Guys were not taking it seriously. They're voting. Like one, I remember one guy was just listing special teams players and just going on the line. So
that was Jeff.
I get it.
Jeff grabbed a ballot and just listed special teams guys.
I get it. I'm not even blaming NFL Network for this because it's content. It's doing exactly what the purpose is. It's getting your people talk about the NFL. It's getting attention back on football during a time where it's the so-called dead period. But it's absolutely complete nonsense. The list means absolutely nothing beyond, you know, what it's doing right now is getting attention and getting clicks. And I don't think people take this seriously. I think that's been proven over and over again in the players that vote. I don't think it should be used as some referendum to where Jackson is, how people feel about him. I just think it's necessarily what Cole said earlier. It's out of sight, out of mind. And Lamar was not on the field much this past year. And if you only vote for 20 players, as Flair Florio pointed out, my guess is people loaded the list with the quarterbacks that were playing the well at the time, and he wasn't on that. So, again, I'm glad people are fired up about something, but man, I can't imagine anything more useless than, you know, this as a whole and this being a controversy.
Greg,
can we
Jennings.
Talk about uniforms again? I think
there'll
I still
plenty
have
of time for that.
I think I still have that piece.
Next week we run a Jay Higgins film breakdown. How about that?
I got a treat for you guys.
Oh shit. Oh, please tell me it's the confetti. He put the confetti in a box.
Oh, here we
you
go.
Guys see this? I still have this piece of confetti. I just found this in my office from the uniform celebration. I would.
He freaks
that. In Lamar Jackson's ranking on an NFL Network list.
I love that.
Well played, Cole. You were right out in front of that. Greg Jennings, former Super Bowl champion, winning wide receiver. Shared his thoughts on this overall list and just how much chaos it's causing on this dry mid-July week.
Absolutely. This is one of the reasons why I always question, and even when I play this top 100 list voted on by the players, okay? When you look at, we just were talking about a list that had Lamar Jackson, albeit quarterbacks only, fifth among quarterbacks.
As voted on by coaches, executives,
and
scouts.
Executives.
Yeah.
Now, you're telling me those guys are going to put Lamar Jackson fifth overall at quarterback, and his peers are going to say, you know what, he's closer. He's probably closer to, this is going to feel like a shot. And rightfully so for Lamar fans or Bryce Young fans, to Bryce Young, who's at 98, Lamar's like 30, 29 or whatever the number is in front of Bryce Young. Like, there's not many quarterbacks that are better than Lamar Jackson. And again, we're talking about all players, all positions. I just don't believe that there are 68, regardless of the season that he had, his impact, even with the season he had, albeit the production was not there, it was still felt. It was still alarm. When you line up against him, you're still concerning yourself about number eight. And so I don't see that. But hey, the list is what it is. Lamar will definitely see this, and he'll do something about it this year, I'm sure.
He's going to try and do something about these numbers as well, guys, which obviously not memorable and among his worst as a starter over the last 8 years of service time that he's been in this league. Former O-lineman Jeff Schwartz weighing in on the topic, and he said the range of votes is always interesting. Someone had Mahomes at 9. This is referring to the Fowler list. Lamar unranked and more. These people shouldn't be allowed to evaluate NFL quarterbacks. Cole, what say you?
I mean, like, again, I think some of this is concocted to get an outrage and to get, you know, some sort of reaction. So I sometimes question, you know, was there actually someone that had Lamar Jackson unranked, or did ESPN just decide to do that because it creates a story? So, you know, I'm not going to say who should and shouldn't break stuff down. I will just say that usually lists are generally used to get a reaction and not necessarily be informative. So I think it's really hard to sit down and rank people, right? So especially when we're talking about all positions mixed into one, that's why I've never really cared too much about the NFL top 100 list. And then when you look at the methodology where players are really only ranking 1 to 20, and then it creates a list out of that, it gets even like, that's not a strong methodology for producing a top 100 list. It's more feasible, and that's why they do it that way. So overall, I mean, I really like the way Jennings put it, though, because like it is true. If you're looking at this as a top 100 list going into 2026, and you look me dead in the eye and tell me there's 60, like you tell me you're going to take Cortland Sutton over Lamar Jackson, I'm just going to laugh in your face. So it's the methodology just doesn't make sense. And I think we see it year after year. But again, I don't think this was meant to be some sort of, you know, scientific list. I think it's to create a reaction, create what we're doing right now. And boy, have they ever won. But hey, it gave us something to talk about on July 14th. So shout out to them for that.
Let's be honest, guys. When we talk about this, and it's kind of time MLB All-Star Game's going on, a lot of this process, you know, we're being talked about. Players are typically the worst among this in voting for this. And you talk about it all the time. I mean, media, deservedly so at times, gets a bad rap for some of their voting. But, you know, as you see with some of the players vote for the Pro Bowl, as you see with this list, you know, I think players are so insulated. And, you know, obviously they know them and they know their opponent. They know guys around the league. But typically, I don't think they're the best judges of, you know, it's different. Like when you talk to them, like if you talk to them during the course of the season, you're going to get bullshit because they're focused on the game. They're focused on getting through practice. They're focused on what they have to do. That's why I think some of the player voting for the Pro Bowl is just odd and gets heavily criticized often. So, you know, as I said, media deserves at times some of the criticism they get for some of the postseason awards and some of this other things. But again, I don't think we should be comparing Jeremy Fowler's list to this NFL Network list. Just, I mean, Bobby, you explained it with how Florio said the differences. And, you know, this is, you know, I get it, out of sight, out of mind. I don't think Lamar needs any extra motivation. Between the contract stuff, how last year went, he'll be plenty armed with motivation this year. But, you know, if it gets fans all hot and bothered, if it gets people worked up, if it gets more attention on what an absolute joke these lists are, and I'm not talking about Fowler's, I'm talking about the other one, then so be it. Good for them. You know, like that's really all it is. I think everybody around the league knows that Lamar Jackson is absolutely one of the best players in this league. Opponents know it. Ravens know it. So just win, baby. That's all that matters. We won't be having this discussion if he comes back and has another great year and, you know, has playoff success, although playoff success doesn't seem to impact Justin Herbert's rankings, right? He's right
or
there.
Joe
right
Burrow. Joe Lamar. Burrow can't even make the goddamn playoffs. The guy's, I don't know what put Tesla
on him.
I more meant
Herbert, who some people just love, but, you know, there's the playoff issue there too, right?
I'm glad you brought up Burrow, though, or at least we're going to bring up Burrow and then Cole did, because that's something that Ryan Clark commented on as we continue to kind of cycle through the national reaction to both of these lists, including Fowler's.
The other thing is this, though. When you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, right, and where he is ranked, they don't take into account how much he's been injured or how little he's played, how awful his team has been as a whole. They look at Joe Burrow when he is on the field, what he has accomplished, and they rank him by that. They rank him by the feeling they get when Joe Burrow is healthy, when Ja'Marr Chase is there, when T. Higgins is there. The same exact thing should go for Lamar Jackson. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, there is no more accomplished quarterback in the entire NFL individually. There's no quarterback who carries more than Lamar Jackson. There's no quarterback who's asked to do more than Lamar Jackson. There's no quarterback who you have to have a game plan for in the run game. You have to have a game plan for in the pass game. And then you have to have a secondary game plan for when he does Lamar Jackson type stuff. And so when you take his career as a whole, if I'm a player, the way I'm voting is this. If this dude is healthy, how much do I fear him? If this dude is healthy, how difficult is it to game plan for him throughout the week? And we talked about some of the disrespect he has gotten. That's disrespect I expected. I expected executives to not know where to place him. I expected marketers and brands to not understand the power of his voice. What I didn't expect is dudes who have to line up in pads on Sundays and Thursdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and whatever the hell other days that we're going to see NFL games this year to not understand how scary it is to walk on the field when this dude is right. And ain't that much changed in 1 year. We're coming off of a year where it was basically one of the best quarterback years we had ever seen, where Josh Allen actually wins the MVP and he's the first team all-pro quarterback. It's not just disrespectful. It's almost stupid that he is ranked so low. And I don't know if he cares about it at all, but this says a lot about this league and how quickly we forget what Lamar Jackson has accomplished.
So, again, that was more about the top 100 list that we've set our pieces on that.
Just ahead, to hop Paul. In quick, though, I just want to say this because this just kind of puts a pin on my thoughts overall about Lamar Jackson dialogue that goes beyond just this list. It's Lamar's career narrative around him. And this goes back to when he was at the University of Louisville and coming out in the draft chatter before he was even a member of the Baltimore Ravens. But Lamar Jackson has been discredited, treated differently. The narratives have been inconsistent around him his entire career, including his time in college. It's always been this way. You know, they will treat him one way, they will treat a different quarterback than another. Justin Herbert is a really good example for the inconsistency around the narrative when it comes to playoff performance. I would add Drake May into that as well. Drake May stunk the entire playoffs, but he did get to a Super Bowl appearance. So because his defense was able to carry him there, nobody gives a shit. And even if you go back to that Joe Burrow 2021 run where they lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow was not he was not as good as he was in that playoffs than he was in the regular season. And, you know, but he got there, right? And so everybody just looks at that as the, you know, that's the determinant, but then they won't apply the same criteria to Justin Herbert. Then it becomes, well, if you peel it back and look at what he did, and you know, that type of inconsistency is really what pisses me off. And that's even without looking at Joe Burrow. And could you imagine if Lamar Jackson missed the playoffs 3-4 years in a row? Like, it would be hell and brimstone from the national media towards him. Joe Burrow hasn't seen the playoffs in a few years and nobody seems to give a shit. So that's really what I find so frustrating. It's the inconsistencies of how Lamar spoke about versus other quarterbacks, and it just kind of, you know, continues. And but I will say, you know, success, team success shuts everyone up. So, you know, it's really just time for the Baltimore Ravens as a whole to go on that run, and that type of narrative around him. And I've had this conversation so many times. A lot of people got pissed off because I compared Isaiah Likely's chokes to Mark Andrews. And you guys are right in the sense that Mark Andrews had his chokes in bigger moments than Isaiah Likely. But the point I was trying to drive at is when a big moment is needed in the playoffs for the Baltimore Ravens over the last 7 years, this team, from top to bottom, from the offensive line to receivers to the defense to the play calling, everybody in this organization pisses down their leg. Everybody's become a choker. You see players make mistakes that they just don't make in the regular season. You see guys get beaten ways that they don't. With guys that are making plays in the regular season don't make those plays in the postseason. And it's across the entire organization. That's really what I was trying to drive at, is that this organization as a whole, this football team as a whole, is riddled with those choking moments. We have not been able to capitalize in high leverage moments as a football team. And what I get frustrated about is that narrative just becomes about Lamar Jackson rather than everybody else around him. You know, you saw a guy like, I rarely have a negative thing to say about Kyle Hamilton. He's one of the best football players I've ever watched. And, you know, that's since I started breaking down film. But when he gets, you know, big boyed by Travis Kelce in the AFC Championship game, again, those are those high leverage moments. And I'm not saying that, and again, everyone's going to run with that and say I'm criticizing Kyle Hamilton. But again, when they need a big play from their best players in the postseason over the last 7 years, the Baltimore Ravens' best players have not made those plays.
Well said, Cole. And I just think part of it is just people want to be right and people are afraid to admit they're wrong. And some of the same people you see are these people who never thought Lamar would be a great quarterback, who, you know, were some of the same people advocating for a position change before the draft. And, you know, when he had some early success, well, he can't throw the ball. Let's see him do it as a thrower. And these people are just going to gravitate towards anything to prove they're right. And now it's the playoff success or the lack of extended playoff success, or it's last year season, you know, with the injuries and not running as much. It's going to be something. Two MVPs has not spurred all the Lamar dissenters to admit they were wrong, obviously. A Super Bowl would, coupled by those MVPs. So, you know, they all know that. It's going to be the blemish on his career, and it's not just on him, as Cole just said. It's on this organization as a whole. That's why John Harbaugh is no longer the coach of this football team. They just felt like they had kind of hit a wall, and they needed to do something different to capitalize on this so-called window they're in with Lamar in his prime. So postseason success, we're not having this conversation. I hate the fact that we are even having the conversation because, you know, I've just such it, you know, it's almost like if I could and I can't with my job, I would just turn everything off for like these 3 weeks, like
including Bobby's text notifications.
No, but I have no problem with Bobby. I mean, I never watched the show in the first place, so I wouldn't have to turn that off. It's already off. But I mean, just this other stuff, like the talking head stuff and these TV shows and all this stuff drumming up interest in the start of the NFL season. You know, I don't begrudge any of these people that, you know, some of these opinions are absolutely asinine, but I don't begrudge any of it, the content and people excited about the end. You know, it's a whole lot of nonsense.
At least he knew you had a show, Bobby. So, I mean, you got that.
Is now a good time to say that I've broken my 2-week vacation for you guys? I've been dark since the day that July 4th weekend began.
Thing, what's Bobby doing here? I didn't know what they meant. So that must be what it is. So you're just knowingly gone.
If you told me you've been dark since December, I would have believed you.
You would have thought he'd come in happier, right? A happier person during his vacation and downtime. It's the opposite.
He's rotten to the core.
Dude, the bronzing has been great, fellas. There's been nothing better than the bronzing. Beach has been fabulous. Great family time. My little man turns 4 on Saturday. We have a big party for him on Sunday. So there's plenty to look forward to. So this is me happy, I guess I would say. And the damn happy. Knicks. Did you guys hear the Knicks won the NBA title? Yesterday was the month-long anniversary. I'm still on cloud 9 from that. They still haven't sold any. They still don't have any up-to-date OG Anunoby jerseys on Fanatics, which is pissing me off. I mean, let's get it straight here. What are we doing? I mean, the guy's a folk hero in New York. We can't even get jerseys up on Fanatics.com of him. But other than that, I'm still pretty happy about things, right? I just don't like lists. I just don't like wasting time talking about nonsense.
One more clip of nonsense then from the former Raven.
Yes.
Bart Scott, who also weighed in at the topic of hand before we get to Prize Picks and more. Classic Bart Scott. He was on the ESPN desk. We'll talk about Stephon Diggs before we get on out of here as well.
Oh, but shit.
The league is rented, not owned, and rent's due every day. And the rent wasn't paid by Lamar Jackson last year. And, you know, what you have to ask yourself, can Lamar Jackson adjust to being a pocket passer? Because we didn't see the explosive runs that he had last year. We're accustomed to seeing Lamar Jackson change angles, put defenses in a bind. Guys were tackling him one-on-one in space, and we're not accustomed to seeing that. And then you have to start asking yourself, what version of Lamar Jackson are we going to get going forward? New offensive coordinator, his third one. And then I started doing a deep dive. You know, Lamar Jackson has 1,081 rush attempts. Cam Newton throughout his career had 1,118. Has the wear and tear start catching up with an athletic quarterback? And with an athletic quarterback, can be as athletic. Is he as feared in his league? And you have to ask yourself that question.
That question's been asked a lot throughout this offseason. There's nothing new about that, right? We've discussed it ad nauseum, really. And Jeff, the question will become right out of the gate. All eyes will be on Lamar if last year was indeed about two things, the offensive line woes and his health.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't necessarily disagree with some aspects of what Bart was saying, but he didn't mention the fact that he was injured and literally dealing with something pretty much from the jump. What did he say? Week two was when he first started, got hurt. Was that what he said in that?
That's what he said.
Yeah, so he just was never healthy all last year. I mean, it was interesting. While he was talking, they played that clip of the Bills game where he ran back 30 yards and then ran forward about 20. That was when he was healthy. He looked pretty damn elusive that day when he was running. I think that clip of Andrew Voorhees trying to speed up and get in front of Lamar for the lead blocker is classic. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to have to stay healthy. And I do think probably as he gets later in his career, Lamar has been clear he would prefer not running. He doesn't, you know, but there are going to be times to pick and choose when to run, when not to. The offensive line improvements factor into that. But I don't attribute last year to a loss of explosiveness. I attribute it to him not being healthy. Now, we'll see going forward. Ultimately, we could be proven wrong, and we see more of the same. I'm not betting on that. I'm betting on Lamar being typically explosive. But, yes, every year when more hits accumulate, when you get a year older, you know, that stuff takes a toll. I mean, we see it in sports across the board. But I'm going to have to see a much better, bigger sample size of Lamar slowing down when not dealing with an obvious health issue to kind of raise that flag.
Prize picks, Cole?
Yeah, rock it.
Let's do it. Because literally right now, as we speak, France and Spain off, huh? Are about to get started. So we can do, as we always do, some prize picks. And let me make sure I get everything right for us here. There it is. You play $5. You get $50 instantly in lineups if you use the code HMA at prizepicks.com. And as always, we like to take you inside our picks. And should we keep them World Cup centric, fellas? What do you want to do this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's no other sport on right now.
Unless we want to do some NBA Summer League.
Alan Graves lighting it up.
Summer League. Probably something with the All-Star game and Home Run Derby. Well, the Home Run Derby is in the past now, right? Was that last night? I've been on total vacation mode.
Has that ended yet? We're going to be pushing 4 hours next year for that event.
Cole, what are we thinking here? Have you been following this?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with any more on Kylian Mbappe. I mean, this kid just looks like the best in the world right now.
Okay. And we can only use one of them.
Guys, Lamine Yamal is going to have his World Cup moment. He was electric in their last round game. He didn't quite score, but they're playing through him a lot on the flank. He is going to have a World Cup moment before all this is said and done.
How old is he?
Okay.
I think he turns 19.
He literally turned 19 yesterday.
That's crazy. Yeah. Dude, so watching him play is unbelievable. Like,
I'd throw Jude Bellingham in for something too because he looked awfully good. But I mean, yeah, if you want to throw in, we could throw in. Let's throw in a little golf here.
Oh yeah, British
just because the Open. Yeah, the Open is amongst us. That's why I kind of my mind went in that direction as soon as the U.S. got eliminated. I kind of unplugged a little bit. So yeah, but.
I'll roll with you guys to unplug there. Bobby. Let's be clear about
that. Yeah, all you do is unplug.
Readily unplugged, just like my this router.
Hey, 5 years. This will be my fifth season of self-employment. The first time I've ever taken a two-week dark period, and I broke that shit for you two guys. And this is what I get from you, Jay-Z. Unbelievable.
Where have you been, Bobby? You've been, you know, usually tell us about your dating exploits.
Yeah, what you been up to,
buddy? What's going on? I like
a staycation. Down here in my new area, you know? Fair enough. A platonic summer, fellas. It's a platonic summer. Focusing on friendships and relationships.
You're full of shit.
Hey, Scotty did not make the cut this past weekend, fellas. Are we going with this week? He'll be around for the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Lynx golf is boring.
Do you really?
I know, I know the golf purists probably disagree. When I watch golf, and I like golf, I want to see some – I like the scenery. I like it to be bright and sunny and, you know, I aesthetically pleasing. There's nothing aesthetically pleasing about Lynx golf.
I don't think bright and sunny when I think about you, though. That's the only thing.
No. But I mean –
This is not Pebble.
No.
This is not Augusta.
Shit, did you see Lake Tahoe this weekend?
Yes, yes.
Kyle Hamilton was in that.
Yeah.
He was. That's cool. He was. And as we learned recently with Evan Washburn's feature, Kyle didn't seem to perform his best or to his standard that day at not Caves, but oh, help me, Jeff. It's in Cockeysville. It's
Yeah.
I've played it several times. What the heck? Come on, I love that spot. Of course, it's not coming to me right now. It will. But Kyle's a stick, as we've learned. He and his father play really competitive, good golf. You looking it up?
Hobbit? No. Yeah, where was that? I'm just
I can't believe I.
I don't, I'm not a golfer. I don't play, so you know better than me.
This is terrible. I usually it's a nice course, and looks like Evan's out there as a member. It'll come to me in just a second. Let's get to some super chats.
It's probably some
Ocean08 says, who the F keeps the what's Jeff saying? Yeah,
but again, even
are you just talking a bunch of shit? We can't hear you.
Yeah, I just with all the perks you get, I figured you probably had a free membership at this course where you don't remember the name.
They're
if I suck around the area.
That question is just some people feel like Burrow plays the quarterback position like they like to see it played. And that's just the fact of the matter. Some, you know, it's the old word quarterbacky. You know what I mean? And some people, he's their definition in terms of how some people think you should play the position. And Lamar doesn't necessarily play in that style. That's all there is. I'm not going to rip Burrow. I know Raven fans would probably like if I did. I love watching him play. I think when he's healthy, that offense is fun to watch, but you know, Lamar doesn't, you know, yeah, it's just people's preference, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, this is that old adage, if you don't need to tear someone down just to prop your guy
up.
Well, not that Burrow is bad by any means. My complaint about Joe Burrow has actually nothing to do with Joe Burrow. It's just around media inconsistencies around how they talk about him. And I would agree with Jeff. I think Joe Burrow is very much that traditional pocket style quarterback, and that's not Lamar's game, and it never has been. And honestly, what makes Lamar so special is that he's not a typical archetype. He's unique. He does things that you don't see other quarterbacks do, and I think Lamar has been one of the most, he embraces that. That's what he loves about his own game, and I think that that really empowers him to go out and play his game. And when Lamar Jackson is comfortable, when he feels like he can just go out and be Superman, that's when he's played his best football.
Ocean08, thanks for the super chat. ADL21's with us and says ESPN's been trying to discredit the players list for years. Now they own NFL Network and are trashing their list. Quote, players don't know the game is what they push. So you listen to Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog. ADL, thanks for the super chat. And Maddie Camaccio, Cole, for you.
Lamar deserves criticism, but the truth is Lamar is black. Nobody wants to admit it, but that's why Lamar is judged harshly than his peers. I definitely think that that is part of it. I think it goes beyond that. It goes back to the narrative coming out that he needs to take reps at wide receiver and other positions. And there's always been a narrative, and that's why I include the Louisville thing, because I don't think this is just a Lamar as the Baltimore Ravens quarterback. There was this narrative that was generated that Lamar Jackson wasn't a quarterback, and Ravens fans who have had to become defensive of him because we spent multiple years trying to just justify the fact that our quarterback is a quarterback. And Jeff is bang on. The reason that people continue to perpetuate stereotypes around him is because he came out in 2019 and he made so many people eat their words. And rather than just be like, hey, I was wrong, a lot of people doubled down. And then injuries pop up in 2020. O-line play goes down the drain, and then you start to see issues. And rather than try and diagnose what the issues are, it just becomes it's Lamar Jackson. So, you know, that's what I found so frustrating. I definitely think you see white quarterbacks get away with a lot more than black quarterbacks, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
Even like that one quote in the Fowler piece, Bobby, like, oh, he can dice you up from the pocket. Like, we found that, like, that's not news. Like, right? We figured that out a long time ago. That's not some revelatory 2025 epiphany here. I mean, that's not new. That really is still a topic. Like, I thought we were beyond the fact that he could really dice you up in the pocket. I thought that was been proven for a number of years now. But again, it's kind of some of the same tired narratives that Cole was hinting at, and is not hinting at, was you know, alluding to in his previous comment.
Trade-off.
If Lamar wants to become a rebel, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no!
I figured you're still on vacation, Bobby, and I was going to take this one for you.
Please, Jeff.
If Lamar wants to become a revolution, he must tap into his true evolution. That's the only thing that will shut these fools up. Love y'all, fellas. Dre Dog is the best. Dre Dog's worth being on here on a, what day is it? A Tuesday afternoon.
There you go.
Again, if this guy wins the Super Bowl and plays well doing it, it would, I cannot, like, I'm, you know, as I've talked a little bit to Knicks, no one wants to still hear it, but it just reminds me of Jalen Brunson in a way. Now, he shut up everybody for good. There's nothing you could say anymore about Jalen Brunson. Like, it was the ultimate victory lap in every way, shape, or form, and that victory lap is ongoing for Jalen Brunson. Wait till you see Lamar Jackson's victory lap if they win a Super Bowl, because literally there will be nothing left to say. That box will be checked, the multiple MVPs and all the career records and the Pro Bowls, all pros, all that stuff have taken care of a lot of the other stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, that's how sports is in a lot of ways. You know, for certain people, the goalposts keep moving. People want to be right, want to, you know, basically adhere to the analysis that they gave years ago when a certain player was coming out of the draft, and they'll look to anything to avoid admitting they're wrong. And that's the last step for Lamar, but it'll be glorious if he wins the Super Bowl and leads the Ravens to a Super Bowl. Not imagine this love and admiration how intolerable Raven fans will be if he wins the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'll be one insufferable. You should see my bookmarks. There's gonna be some ass kicking going on.
You keep bookmarks of people.
Oh, dude, you should see my bookmarks. Ruthless.
You and a good percentage of the fan base, man. For sure. Do that and have them and readily the available, Jeff. They will be readily available. Dre Dog hits us with another Bobby, one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. You take that one, Bobby.
He says, Lamar doesn't get credit for being the first black quarterback to become the highest paid player of all time without using an agent. That alone is epic. What were you going to say there, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've written the game story of Lamar winning a Super Bowl in my head for 5 years now, right? I mean, you know, you just think about the magnitude, and as a reporter, you think about how you'd handle things and, you know, everything that would mean and the bigger picture stuff and all that, you know, like you just, God, you couldn't even imagine what it would be like and what some of the reaction around the NFL would be like.
On top of how Baltimore would respond, another parade for the first time in over a decade, and just what it would do for the city, what it would mean for the supporting cast, what it would mean for Lamar's legacy, and the change to a number one on the back of his jersey, and so much, so much would come as a result.
Yeah, Dre Dog's got a good point. And one of the things he said, you know, Lamar has done this whole thing his way. Everything about Lamar's NFL career, he's done it his way, regardless of the criticism, and not hiring an agent and how he's handled contract negotiations, as Dre Dog pointed out, all that's a part of it. You know, that's all going to be a part of his story when it's all, Lamar likes to say my story's not written yet and it's too early to talk about that stuff, but all that stuff will be a part of when his final story gets written.
Hayfields Country Club, Jeff.
Hayfields. Yeah, that's it. Did you get had. Your membership? Did you get your invite to the members guest to jog your memory?
You know, I've only gotten a couple guest invites over the years because I'm not a stick, unlike Kyle Hamilton. Yeah. But when I do get it to BCC of all places, I make sure that I'm available no matter what time of year it is, for sure. And guys, let's finish up here just because the Stephon Diggs conversation will continue so long as a team doesn't sign him. He remains unsigned. There have been a lot of Stephon Diggs off-field stories that have garnered a ton of attention in recent months. But the bottom line is, he's been cleared. He's cleared legally as things stand today. That doesn't mean he wouldn't come with a potential media shitstorm as a result of some of his actions, or at least what he's found himself in the middle of, but he is available. And as he recently said, in his opinion, quote, I can compete with anybody. You can't name a number two better than me. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, we've used him a couple times today, says that at least five teams have been checking in on Diggs nearly 2 weeks out from camps. Yes, he produced 1,000 yards in New England coming off that ACL tear. He played about 55% of the snaps en route to that Super Bowl appearance. He feels like he can be even better due to the offseason training with no injury concern. Jeff, we've touched on this before. Has your mindset changed at all from what you shared last time on this topic?
It really hasn't, and that's not – I mean, it's not really negative towards Diggs. It just seems like there's always something that kind of follows him. I don't disagree with that at all, what he's saying. I mean, like, he had a very good year last year, and he comes in big spots. I expressed it last week. With edge rusher, my concern with edge rusher is the young guys get completely buried, and you use a developmental year. You lose a key year development. Ultimately, you can practice all you want. You got to get on the field to play, right? That's not really my concern. You know, like Lane and Surratt are two mid-round rookies. Like, okay, I don't, you know, if neither of those guys are in huge roles, I could live with it. My just concern is kind of the chemistry experiment there. And what are you bringing in with Diggs? With some of the, there always seems to be something going on there in the background. Always. He seems to be kind of a TMZ darling and not always for good reasons. And what is he going to, you know, look at Hopkins' numbers last year. Like DeAndre Hopkins, I believe, had two catches or fewer in 16 of 17 games. And that's not even a rip on Hopkins. Right. That's not a criticism. It's just this offense has a hard time with getting multiple receivers involved to the fullest and taking advantage of it. Now you got a different coordinator, you got some position coaches, different head coach. So maybe that all changes. My concern is just looking at the offense and the totality as a whole. And can you get the best out of all these guys? What would adding a lightning rod like Diggs due to the locker room, what would it do to the target share on offense? Does it put pressure on Lamar Jackson to get him extra involved, to keep him happy at the expense of others? My issue with Diggs addition has nothing to do with kind of them pushing younger receivers aside. Maybe I should have a higher opinion of Vontaze Walker and want to see Lane and Surratt more. That's not really where I'm at. It's more just the whole chemistry experiment on offense. And what does his addition take away from? Is the plus outweigh the minuses? That's the call on that. But look, he's been available before, and there's always smoke about the Ravens because he's a Maryland guy. He's from the area. They're always looking for veteran receivers. They always have a history of taking high-profile guys with reputations being a little bit difficult. I mean, their list of receiver additions is filled with those guys. So I get it. I would just be surprised here, guys. I have not, this is also time you kind of let the team people, you know, I've not been, you know, contacting people really. I've sort of turned off, and they don't want to hear from me at this time of year anyway, but it just didn't seem like a receiver was anywhere near the top of their list when I was asking questions about it a month ago. Maybe stuff has changed. You just don't know. Maybe it's gotten to the point where you could get him for so cheap and he wants to be here, and all that will take care of itself. I don't know. That's certainly a topic on the forefront here as we get back into business season, and you know, because they usually make a couple moves in the back end of their roster before training camp starts, and I would assume this year will be no different.
Just to add on a thought as we wrap up here, just to kind of build, I won't repeat what you said, but even if you look at it from a, what type of players do the Ravens have on their rosters, where do you project guys like Lane, guys like Surratt, you know, when you take a look at the tight end room, I just think that Diggs would be an upgrade over Rashad Bateman. There's no doubt about that. You know, we can't rely on Rashad Bateman to come in and, like, I don't feel comfortable anyway being like he's a starting caliber wide receiver for sure. I think he could be. We've seen it before, but after last year, you to have questions is perfectly reasonable. So that's why I like DeAndre Hopkins so much last year, and his efficiency spoke for itself. Like his numbers don't shock you, but when you look at what he did early in the season with a healthy Lamar Jackson, keep in mind, you know, he was phenomenal. He made big catches, and where he made his catches is what's important to me. Outside the numbers, true X wide receiver, contested catches. To me, that's what the Ravens really need. Whereas what Stephon Diggs did so well in New England last year was that chain mover in the middle of the field. Now, you could say Lamar Jackson can, of course, use that type of weapon, but Zay Flowers does it really well. Mark Andrews can work the middle of the field. They just invested in a couple tight ends. So to me, the better investment would be the true outside wide receiver, which Diggs is more of a slot guy at this point in his career. So I would take either over Rashad Bateman, to be clear. But to me, I just see a lot of logic to bring back DeAndre Hopkins and then actually use him. But if there's questions of why didn't they use him last year, I completely get where you're coming from. I just think his skill set is a better fit for what this Ravens offense needs.
This was Diggs in his own words.
Opportunities aside, people might say it might be like, what, 7? That's like real one.
Right.
In my opinion, I can compete with anybody. But take those as your ones, right?
Right.
You can't name a number two better. There's not a number two on a team. Like, let's presume they give people the credit to just say, okay, you want to take the number one spot away. Name your number two receiver right now.
Right.
And tell me how much he makes. And then my last question is he better than me?
Yeah. Guy's got a point.
Is he doing that interview from a sauna? Where is that?
I was just going to say, he looks like he's in a sauna. Maybe those endorphins are pumping post-workout, and he's feeling himself there. But like we all kind of agreed here on the panel, he's got himself a point, and it's be hard-pressed to find somebody that would debunk that. Femi, speaking of debunking, Cole is here with us, friend of the program, with a super chat on our way out.
What up, Femi? Thanks for joining us, bud. NFL coaches and fans debunking 2022 narratives in 2026 is endemic of more LJ derangement syndrome, not a compliment. Stairs up, elevator down with LJ. Sad. I agree, Femi. I completely agree. Again, we're talking about things. Jay-Z nailed it. We're talking about narratives, and it was in the friggin' article about narratives that existed 5 years ago that got wildly debunked during an MVP season, and yet we're still, and let's be clear, his 2024 season should have been an MVP season as well. So, you know, it's just, it's exhausting at this point, and it creates a lot of frustration with other fan bases, and that's why things seem so toxic all the time.
Fam, appreciate the super chat, and Jeff was out that episode, so we'll have to circle back so the four of us can get together at some point. We appreciate his time a few weeks ago, and we appreciate all of you hanging out with us on this pre-training camp Tuesday, training camp, that is, excuse me. I mean, look, everybody's been asking, some have at least in the live chat, what's up with the 2 o'clock starts? We'll just continue to reiterate that this is temporary, and not only will we be back to 8 o'clock's most days, we'll see how the summer goes once training camp begins with all three of our schedules, most importantly, Jeff's, but we're going to be back come August, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So regardless of what time it is, beginning next month, we're giving you two collective episodes, two live streams per week, and we're looking forward to that. Thanks to Prize Picks. Thanks to SeatGeek for the continued support of the program, and we will catch up with you guys 1 week from today, and that will be the start of rookies reporting to camp, and the veterans and the rest of the group will follow in the week ahead. So for Cole, for Jeff, I'm Bobby signing off from this Tuesday edition. Guys, if you could like the video on your way out, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, consider becoming a channel member or gift-giving membership this offseason, and continue to gear up because training camp's right around the corner. And we appreciate you guys for spending some time with us on this Tuesday.